encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We need to be watching out for sin in each other's lives, encouraging one another to stay away from it, right? Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Man, so this is just a reminder, the whole point of this church, the whole point of what we're doing here, we want to be disciples of Jesus and encourage one another together. Okay, so I just want to do two things. It's going to be a little bit of a different teaching. I just want to call out and commend where I see our church encouraging one another to be disciples really well. Just want to commend you guys because I've been blessed by it. And secondly, I want to take some time to call out some things I think we can grow in. Some ways I think we can be better at making disciples. And some ways maybe a little bit off of what Scripture teaches. So this can be a practical message, I hope. And it's going to be directed to you guys, Desert Zen. Because I've lived here and I know you guys. I've been among you. So I hope this is a blessing to you guys. Oh, man. One of the biggest ways I've seen you guys be an example of discipleship is laying down your career and home place for Jesus. I can point to a lot of you guys who left homes and careers and moved here for the very purpose of just helping this church. And some of you guys are sitting here. Thank you guys. Now in the world, that is not common. I think people leave churches and families to go pursue their career. It's the opposite, right? People move all the time just to find a better job, more money. They go to the nicest place they can possibly live. They leave Arizona and go to Colorado. Not the other way around, right? And yet here you guys move to a very hot place, an uncomfortable place. And I've seen that example, and I saw that example ever since I was a kid. And that's just been ingrained in me from watching you guys. Man, Jesus is more important than my career. Jesus is more important than finding the nicest place in the world to live and living there. That's an amazing example. Weddings. I went recently to a wedding with a family member, and weddings are always beautiful. But it is just such a stark contrast to see kind of weddings that the world has versus the weddings I've seen here. It is night and day. And just a few of the things I've seen is just the incredible love we have for one another. And it's just on display at a wedding, where it's just this picture of Christ and his church coming together at last. I've seen the people that get up and often give the toast to the bride and groom. Among us, it's been people that have known each other for years, dedicated, loyal friends who really deeply know each other. Sometimes in the weddings I've been to out in the world, it's not that way. Sometimes it's coworkers, people that barely know the bride and groom, and those are the closest relationships they have. And it's just beautiful to see the contrast. Just the way you guys have come together, I mean, talk about my wedding, I had so much help from all of you, so much support. And that's just not there out in the world. I just want to commend you guys. I think we're an example of what it means to love one another like a family. And finally, I just want to commend the young people who've gone to ASU. I think I've seen this firsthand. You guys have said no to the world and followed Jesus in a very, very worldly, wicked place. I think Jesus sees that. I just want to tell you guys that. And you guys have every day said no to the horrible sexual temptations that are everywhere on ASU campus. And you've chosen to live differently than the world and saying no to wickedness that's just so easy and right there. And I think Satan has hated so many of us, hated you guys, and hurt us because we have not played his games and we have not gone along his ways. And I've seen that. And I've seen you guys stand firm in that temptation. And I just want to commend you guys because I was blessed by that, just walking with you guys in this dark, dark place. And I had friends and brothers and sisters right beside me who were saying no to the world, who were putting Jesus first. Putting Jesus first above all the fun we could have been having. And it was hard. And thank you guys for encouraging me. And I know there are many other things I could say, many other amazing ways you guys have been disciples of Jesus, and things I don't even know about.
Those are the few things I just thought to commend this morning. All right, now, by God's grace, I just want to bring a little bit of what I see as correction and maybe a course correction here. And I could be wrong about this. By the way, guys, could be wrong about this. I just want to bring what I see. And let the Holy Spirit guide you. Sometimes, just for those of you that don't know, sometimes discipleship in the context of, especially the young among this church, can mean a mentorship relationship. I don't know if you guys have experienced that. Sometimes it means that there's this formal mentorship, one-on-one relationship you're going to form with someone else, right? I'm going to be your discipler, right? And you're going to be the disciplee, I guess. It's kind of this mentorship relationship. It's semi-formal. We're going to agree to meet at certain times, and I'm just going to, you know, kind of mentor you through the Christian life. And this has been kind of a practice in our church for a while, especially among the younger generation here. And I think mentorship relationships are a great thing, by the way. I've been blessed by them tremendously. I've been in them. I've been blessed by them. I've experienced blessing. But I think there are a couple things that can sometimes be unhealthy about them, and I just want to bring those to our attention. I think the first thing is the word discipleship in the Bible, I don't see it necessarily referring to a mentorship, right? Those are the verses we read. Discipleship means what? It means following Jesus, right? Following Jesus and making disciples means encouraging one another to follow Jesus, right? Doesn't necessarily mean this one-on-one kind of formal thing. But it certainly can, right? Paul and Timothy had a mentorship, it seems like father and son, and that was a beautiful thing, although they didn't call that discipleship necessarily. But this is one of the things I've seen in these mentorship relationships, is that sometimes the mentor feels this burden of responsibility for the spiritual well-being of the mentee, right? And it can even be, you know, I feel responsible to shepherd this person's soul, right? Or I feel like I'm responsible to direct their life and give them wise advice and counsel about their life, and I need to conjure up some wisdom somehow. And I've seen that, and I think there can be this unhealthy burden that sits on the shoulders of the mentor in that role. Not necessarily, but I've seen that sometimes. I don't necessarily see a biblical precedent for one friend having responsibility for another friend, you know, especially if they're the same age, right? I think we're to encourage one another, right? We're to encourage each other. It's a two-way relationship. Sometimes it can feel like it's this one-way thing where one party has responsibility to teach and encourage the other, but it doesn't go the other way. I see a mutual one another model for relationships. We are to encourage and strengthen one another, right? I just want to give a personal story. I, in college, was in charge of leading a discipleship group. There's a few people I was supposed to disciple, right? Meaning I was supposed to mentor them, right? And they were kind of my mentees. And man, it was a beautiful thing. I learned a lot from it. I hope that people were blessed. But it felt like a huge burden of responsibility. I felt like I was holding the lives of these people. Like, man, I'm supposed to shepherd these people's souls. I'm responsible to a degree for their spiritual lives. Wow. that was a weight on me. And that felt, I just didn't know how to carry that. I was probably like 21 at the time. You know, I was barely a few years older than the people I was leading, right? And man, people, they would come to me because they felt the need for that shepherding, and they would come to me with questions about their life and looking for wisdom and life advice, and me at 21 having to like conjure up, oh, this is what I think is biblical wise advice, right? And man, it was hard, and it was a burden, and it weighed me down. And I think there were aspects of it that were just unhealthy. And I don't think the leaders in that group were necessarily, I don't think the leaders over me necessarily wanted it to feel that way. They didn't tell me that I was responsible for these people, but it was something that was more felt than said. I don't know if you guys know those kinds of things. Kind of like this feeling in the air that, man, I'm supposed to be responsible for these people. So I don't know. Recently, Christian gave me a piece of very wise advice. He said, "You are not a pastor." Wow. That is like, that just has lifted so much off my shoulders. I'm not a pastor, guys, like, as I'm up here, but I'm not a pastor, right? That was just so freeing. Like, let me read this to you. We can read some about the roles of pastors in 1 Peter 5 and Hebrews 13. This is Hebrews 13. Let me read it for you. "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Wow. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you." Does that make sense? We're to submit to our elders, right? Our pastors over us. They will give an account to God for how they shepherded our souls. Isn't that crazy? That's such a responsibility they carry. But they're our elders. God has given them grace to carry that, right? I'm not an elder. Wow. That's freeing, right? That's freeing. And those of you in those mentorship relationships, I just want to speak directly to you. First of all, thank you. Thank you for the work you do. Like, you are working so hard for the gospel and trying to bring health and instruction and encouragement to those that are younger in the faith. Like, thank you for that. Those of you that are doing it, just thank you. I know it's so much work. But I just want to encourage you, maybe the Lord wants to lift a weight off your shoulders that you've been carrying that he doesn't want to be there. Like, maybe you felt like you're a little pastor with a congregation of one. I felt that way sometimes. And I just want to encourage you, you're not. You're not responsible for this person's soul. You are not responsible for shepherding them. You're not responsible for their spiritual walk. Our shepherds, our elders, are responsible to our all chief shepherd, Jesus. And we can just take that weight off your shoulders, and we can just encourage one another to follow Jesus as friends and not worry about being, mini pastors with our little congregation, right? And to those of you that are in the maybe mentee role in those relationships, to those of you here, just want to say, even if you're a younger believer, you have the Holy Spirit. You can encourage and strengthen and instruct everyone else here. You can say, "Hey, look, I read this today. This is encouraging to me. I've been encouraged and strengthened and spurred on to faith by younger Christians. That's happened to me." So I just want to encourage you, if you're even if you're younger, like, you can do that. You have a responsibility to, back the other way, to strengthen, encourage, and spur on to faith those around you, your friends. Now, I would just humbly encourage you, those of you that are in those kind of mentorship relationships, maybe like humbly consider not even thinking of it as a mentor relationship, but just as a friendship that goes both ways, a Christian friendship where we are both mutually strengthening and encouraging each other for the gospel, to be disciples, right? That's my encouragement to all of you. Not to the rest of us, to those that maybe are not in these kind of mentorship relationships or you haven't heard about them. That's great. I think there's a lot we can learn from those who are. I think we can learn from those who are in them, right? I think these mentorship kind of roles have been filling two lacks, two needs in our church. And one is just the need for discipleship in our friendships. And the other is a need for wisdom from the older generation to the younger generation. I think those are two things, two gaps they've been trying to fill. I just want to talk about those two things. There can be sometimes, and I'm guilty of this, there can be a lack of discipleship in our friendships, right? We kind of, we're Westerners, we're very compartmentalized in our minds, and we kind of say, oh, there's spiritual time over here, and there's normal time. And you don't talk about Jesus in normal conversation during normal time. You talk about Jesus during Bible study time, during spiritual time, right? And so we don't ask questions in normal conversation like, how's your spiritual walk doing? How's your prayer life? How are you doing with Christ? You know, in a group of two or three friends, do I go, hey, what's something that encouraged you from the Word recently? How's your relationship with Jesus doing? How have you been obeying Jesus recently? What have you been obeying Jesus in? You know? How has Jesus encouraged you? What have you been praying for? Do we ask each other those things just in normal conversation as friends? I know I don't. I don't always. And I want to. I want to just be bold. It seems awkward sometimes. It's awkward. But it's okay. It's okay. I want to be doing that because that's where discipleship needs to be happening. It needs to be happening in our relationships and our friendships. We need to be spurring one another on towards love and good deeds. That's not exclusive to one relationship out of all of these relationships. That's all of us. We all are in discipleship relationships with one another, right? That's how it needs to be. And secondly, I think I get that it's hard. I get that it's hard to just do that in normal conversations. I think it's great to set aside intentional times of, hey, we're going to meet regularly and make it a point with, you know, one or two or three friends, and make it a point to ask one another, how are we doing? How's your spiritual walk? How's your life with God going? I know many of you do this, but I just want to encourage those that aren't, like, let's make a point. When's the last time someone's asked you, how's your walk with God going? When's the last time you've asked someone that, right? If it's been a while, then let's make it a point, let's be intentional, let's find friends and make it a point to be discipling one another. Okay. Then I want to just talk to those of you who are older here. I want to let you know that we who are young are hungry for your wisdom. We are hungry for that. There's a lot of young people in this church. You can just look around. I think we are hungry for the wisdom you guys bring. I just want to commend you guys, especially the women. I've seen that happening in women's ministry. I've seen amazing things happen. And the older women teaching the younger women, just like it says in Timothy. You guys remember that? Older women teach younger women to love their families, right? I just want to commend you guys for doing that. And I want to encourage those of you who maybe haven't been doing that as much. We need you guys. We need your wisdom. We who are young, we need to spend time with you. We need to hear your life advice. And I don't know. I see these discipleship, these kind of mentorship relationships that the young have been forming among each other with people basically their same age. I see it as a cry for the wisdom that you guys have. And we are hungry for that. And I think Satan has so many lies. He's been telling you guys, you know, young people don't want to hang out with you. You're not cool. They don't like you. You're kind of weird and old, and we don't want to spend time with you. And yeah, look, Or you have sin in your past. You have sin in your past, and that disqualifies you from bringing wisdom to those who are younger. That disqualifies you. You should just stand aside and let the young people do their young people thing. That's just not true. Those are lies from Satan. Like, we need you guys. We need you. I've been blessed by the older people just spending time with me, doing nothing. No agenda, no wise advice planned ahead. Just John Meyer, one of the older pastors, just lived with us. He took two semesters and just lived with some younger guys. He did no planning. He just cooked with us and cleaned our apartment together and all. Just, it was amazing. And the wisdom, we just absorbed it by living life together. And Josh Meyer would invite me over to come help him fix his car. There was no agenda. I would come and we would just get our hands dirty and fix the car. And I would have conversations with him during those times. And he would ask afterwards, like, what do you get out of this? Like, what? And I was like, I've learned so much just by talking to you. You guys don't even realize it. You have wisdom just from having lived more life than me, than us. You have wisdom. And we need that. We young people need that from you. So just practically, I don't think you don't have to have an agenda. You can just find ways to spend time with those who are young. It doesn't have to be one-on-one. You can be, find ways to get involved in, we need to find ways to get involved in some of the groups together. I know that's a bit of a hot topic, but come to small groups where there are younger people. Spend time with us, invite us over to do dishes, to do car work. We're okay with that. Like, we want to learn from you. I want us to be united as a church and just, the younger learning from the older. That's something that's so needed. We need you guys. And I've been blessed by it. I've been blessed by those who are older who've just taken the time to spend time with me. Nothing else, just spend time with me. That has been so amazing. Such a blessing. Man, that was short. Thought that would take longer. All right. So, once again, I just want to commend you guys that are working so hard for the gospel. I think God sees it. You need to know that. God sees your secret work that no one else sees. He sees it. He loves you. He's giving you strength. I would just encourage you, if you feel burdened, if you feel weighed down, ask God. Ask God whether he really wants to place those burdens on you or if he is lifting burdens off. I think in many cases, those of you that are working really hard for the gospel to disciple others, maybe there's just burdens he wants to lift off. Let you know, like, this is a two-way thing. This is a two-way street, and we're just friends, and you're not responsible for another person's soul. You're not responsible for shepherding the souls of your fellow friends, your fellow believers. You can rest in that. And it's freeing. It's freeing. When you realize that, you're just more free to bring love and encouragement without worrying about whether or not the person will listen, whether or not the person will make the right choices, all this stuff. You can just be free. I think it's an amazing thing. So if you don't mind, I'm just going to pray for us. I'm going to pray for us here and close a little early. Lord Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for Desert's End, Lord, this church. What a blessing it's been to me. What an example of how to follow you, Lord, in a wicked and sinful generation. Lord, in a wicked and sinful world. I thank you for that. I ask, Holy Father, that you would just be convicting anyone that's weighed down or feeling burdens. That you just lift that off. Pray that we would be having amazing friendships that are filled with encouraging one another to follow you and give all we have to follow you, Lord God. I pray that in every way we'd be strengthening and encouraging one another, Lord God, as brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord God, I pray that you would just unite the older and younger generations in this church, Lord God, that the old would recount to the young your works, Lord God, your mighty acts, Lord God, God, I pray that you would just strengthen the older people in this church, Lord. Encourage them that they have a wisdom that they can bring and that you want them to bring to the young. And just encourage the young, Lord God, to be following you, even though it's so hard in this world. Please bless us, Lord God. Please bless this church, Lord God. I pray that we would all be disciples of you, following you, giving all we have to follow you, Lord God. I pray that you would just bless this church and help us do that. We ask this in Jesus' name. All right, got announcements?